Lord Jesus, we're here today, and Lord, it's only because of thy work and thy love that we're here today. We're not here for a social occasion. We know each other. Lord, aside from myself, we wouldn't know each other. But what draws us together is thy love and what thou hast done on the cross. And giving thyself for us, Lord, some of us have been here this morning and remembered thee, that thou hast gone to the cross and thou hast gone into death. And Lord, thou hast burst forth in wondrous victory. And we're here because, Lord, thou art living. We speak to thee as a living Saviour. We speak to thee as a coming Saviour. And Lord, as we're here this morning for this wonderful, precious ceremony of baptism, we remember, Lord, that it speaks of the waters of death, that thou didst actually go into death. But Lord, thou hast come forth and thou art living, victorious. And so as we think of this occasion this morning, we pray for Jordan. We thank thee for blessing him. We thank thee, Lord, that he's heard thy call and answered to it. We thank thee for everyone here who's heard thy call and answered to thy call and found in thee a wonderful, living and true Saviour. And we pray, Lord, that I must just bless this time together now. We might be anxious about it. Lord, just give us peace in our hearts.
Amen.
That everything might be done in dignity and to thy glory. And we pray for Jordan. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for thy work in him. How precious thy work is. Eternal, unchanging. One day thy work in everyone will come to be able to be seen. And what glory there will be for thee. But we pray for him. We think of the home he's come from, and we think of how in his heart he desired that his mum and dad were here too. And we just pray that they might be blessed in thine own time. And his family, brothers and sisters, we pray, Lord, for this. Thou art able, however hard of heart people are, Lord, thou art able to change the hearts of anyone. So we commit them all to thee. We commit him to thee. Life as a Christian has many trials and difficulties, but we pray to keep him and keep us all, Lord, until that has come. So we pray for this time now. May we know thy blessing. Lord, we just truly thank thee from our hearts for dying for us. But Lord, we're here because we rejoice thou art living. So bless us now, we pray. And we pray just especially for Jordan. And we pray that he might be sustained in the days to come, in the years to come, if we're left here. In thy joy, Lord, and thou might protect him and keep him and not allow Satan to get near him. We just pray for this as we ask all things, Lord Jesus, in thy precious name.
Amen.
I'd like to just read two passages of Scripture. One of them is very familiar. We had it referred to some of us yesterday in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and chapter 16, page 1327 in my Bible. And verse 23, and having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and secured their feet to the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas in prayer were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook. And all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds were all loosed, and the jailer being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prisons opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for are we all here?" And having asked for lights, he rushed in and trembling fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, said, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed them from their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And having brought them into his house, he laid the table for them and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. And just then, just one verse or so in the Epistle to the Philippians, a bit further on, the scripture, my Bible, one, page 1417. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you, constantly, in my every supplication, making the supplication for you, but with joy, because of your fellowship with the gospel from the first day until now, having confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it unto Jesus Christ's day. As it is righteous for me to think this as to you all, because ye have me in your hearts, and that both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the glad tidings, you are all participators in my grace. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. Jordan, I didn't want to speak for very long to us all, but these are wonderful scriptures, and there was a wonderful change in this man's life. You know, this is a very familiar scripture, and some of us as children heard it many times. We're privileged. I know you haven't been privileged to hear the gospel growing up, and some of us here have been privileged, and we forget what a privilege it is to be brought up in a Christian home. We should be thankful for it. Mm-hmm. But we heard this scripture many times, no doubt you have too. We heard it yesterday. And, you know, the jailer, I don't know what your life was like before, and no doubt you'll tell us what change has happened in your life. But the jailer, you know, he'd have been a hard man. You know, he secured Paul and Silas, who were beaten unjustly, and he put them in the stocks. And the stocks were very painful. He probably went beyond. He didn't just lock them up. He put pain on them. And he was probably quite a hard man. And the wonderful grace of God was that God sent an earthquake and just took the prison down. I don't know what things you worry about, people in your life you might worry about. You might worry about your family. Can God ever change their lives? God can send an earthquake to prize people out of prison and not hurt anyone. That's the God in whom I believe. You know, it's just amazing what great power he has. And what infinite gentleness. You think of a whole prison falling down and no one's hurt. It's just amazing. As we know, the jailer thought, you know, his life was turned upside down. And there was this moment when he didn't know what to do. And the answer was in coming to the Lord. And these verses are so familiar. No one preached a great long gospel to him. Just a few verses. And that's the power of God's word. And the work of the Lord Jesus. A few words to change the life. And what I just wanted to draw attention to is, you know, this man was changed. He what did he do? He took these prisoners. He'd never done this in his life before, I suppose. He took them the same hour and washed them from their stripes. What a change in his life. He washed them from their stripes. He tried to put right and bring in what was soothing to people that were hurt. What a wonderful thing it is as a Christian to be a blessing to others. Be a blessing. And then after that, this evidence of change in his life. A man what he was like before, a different man now. And then he was baptized. And that was an outward sign of a different life. You know, life he'd had before, in those moments he realised what the Lord Jesus had done in going into death. And his old life was gone. He'd have a new life. He might still be a jailer. Would he be a brutal jailer? Would he be a cruel man? No, he was a new life. A new life. And the baptism was a symbol of that. And, you know, the other thing it says is, it says here that the blessing and all his straight way. Everyone else is involved. You know, Jordan, it's a wonderful thing to me personally, emotional thing. We've been baptised today, but my children were baptised in this room, Amy 20 years ago and Sam 18 years ago. The question for us, the rest of us, is, do we live in the light of our baptism? That come forth from the water, a new life. Do we live in light of the coming of the Lord? Do we live for him? Is the day, each day of our life, a glory for him? That's a challenge for us. baptism, I didn't want to talk about it at all. It's an ordinance of Christianity, like the breaking of bread that we had this morning. You know, God sees it, God honours it. And those of you who have been baptised, think about it. Think about how precious it is in the scripture. Live your life as honouring it. You know, whether you're a child, as an adult, live your life as honouring it. A moment in your life, perhaps you worry about it. Don't worry about it. If it's done, it's done. Don't worry about it. Just rejoice the fact you have a living Saviour and live for him. Leave behind the things that you lived your life for before. Paul speaks in Romans not to live as subject to sin and lust and all those other things. A Christian has the power to live a different life because the Saviour is there for them on high. The Lord is near, Paul told the Philippians, and the Spirit within. What wonderful power we have. And the reason I, beyond that, of course, Jordan, he dealt with their stripes, and then he had them into his house. You know, the things of Christianity are an overabundance, not just scrape through. It was a wonderful blessing, and he showed it to others. And I know the change in your life. I've only known you, I don't know, a year or so, but I can see the change. I can see the joy that you have in the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing. And the challenge to me is, do I show the same joy? Well, just Philippians, just to finish. So this assembly in Philippi was started in the teeth of opposition. It was started from satanic attack and with the woman with the spirit of Python and violence. And the two things affect the church today. In Pakistan, seen recently, the violence against Christians. In other parts of the world, violence. In our country, it's subtle. Like this woman that went round speaking and it sounded okay, but it wasn't. The source was wrong. So the challenge for us as we go forward is, in the face of that, this church was born. And Paul writes to the Philippians later on, and the thing that strikes me, Jordan, he says, God is my witness how I long after you. You think back and you think about the man that put you in prison and stretched your legs out in the stocks, you might think very angry about him. No, he loved him. He loved him because the work of the Lord Jesus was evident in that man's life. By the grace of the Lord, a church was set up from women, rich women and other women who prayed, and a jailer. And we come from different backgrounds here, and no doubt in your life you'll mix with other Christians. We're all kinds of things before we come to the Lord. What matters now is, come from your natural family, you're now part of the family that belongs to God. And, you know, through the rest of your life, you'll never be left alone, because the Lord has promised to be with us all the days. You have others here today, and sometimes you'll be on your own, but the Lord, through his blessing, has left others around us, to surround us and to help us through life's journey. And the Holy Spirit within. So may you know these blessings. May you know the joy of Christian love from other Christians in your life. Those who surround you, that whatever lack that you've had in your life from your own family, it might be replaced by a greater joy of the love of other believers around you. We trust you be blessed in your life. For his
name's sake. Amen. As some of you do know, I wasn't brought up in a Christian family, and still to this day, they still do not know their Lord as a personal Saviour. I didn't have the best of childhoods growing up. My parents had me when they were very young, and they soon separated just before I was 1 year old. But as you can imagine, my early years wasn't very settled. Place to place, home to home, school to school. I never really felt part of the family. I felt a bit like a black sheep, you know what I'm saying. However, I did find myself finding like a home whenever I was with my nan. She was my best friend. And, I don't really like to say it, but she was my mum to me. I did have a mum, but I saw her as a mother figure. Sadly, she passed away when I was 11 years old. She was killed in Valentine's Day in a car accident. From that moment on, I fell into a depression. I was really angry and didn't really care about anything or anyone. And that all changed, not fully, but it did change, and that's when I met Charlotte. She gave me something to care for, she gave me some comfort. But how much good that was, it never really fully did it for me. And I still felt the hurt and the pain and the black sheep. And it wasn't until 2 years ago, Charlotte asked me if I would attend a church she was attending in London. I wasn't really sure what to think. Obviously, I'd never been to church before, I'd never been to a church. But after a little while, I decided to, why not, let's go and try it out. My first impressions of it was, I did enjoy it. The people were really nice, and the music was good, but I was confused, because I didn't know what they were talking about, or they were singing the name of Jesus, and I was like, well, who's Jesus? But it took a few times of going to church, but after hearing people talk about the effects that God had made in their lives, I started to feel like, you know what, I want that. So on November the 20th, 2016, after the Sunday service, when everyone had a chance to pray, I bowed my head and just closed my eyes, and I just asked God, please, can you accept me? Obviously, I didn't know what to do, never prayed before, but that's what I said. Later on that afternoon, Charlotte noticed that I had obviously bowed my head, so she asked, was you praying? I said, yeah, and she asked, what did you pray for? And I said, I asked for God to accept me. And then for her to reply and say, you don't need to ask God to accept you because God has already accepted you. So from that moment on, that's when I feel I started my life as a Christian. Since getting God into my life, I've noticed myself changing. I've found myself being more caring and someone who's not angry and someone who's been able to forgive the ones who have hurt me in the past. I can't stand here and say that he's healed me fully because the pain is still there, but I can feel him working in me, and the thing he has given me is hope. Hope for an eternal life and a chance to live with his love. The Lord's blessed me with people that show me the love of only the Lord can give, and that just makes me more confident that I can put my trust in him. I no longer feel like a black sheep, and I know I'm never alone. I'm getting along now with my family, and I do hope that one day they will find Jesus as their Savior. I'm going to continue to put God centre of my life, because if you put yourself as the centre of your life, during the hard times you will crumble. But one thing is for sure, that God will never crumble. Yeah, God will give you the strength to overcome all things. As it says, Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So I want to be baptized to say today, just kind of show my appreciation for the change God's made in my life. And just to continue to know that he will continue to bless me with changes and as I continue my journey.
We've all heard today Jordan give his testimony of his faith in his Lord and Saviour, and we're very thankful for that. I therefore would like to baptise you, Jordan Edward Mark Goslin, to the name of the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus.